You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
What is happening?
It's all I don't know.
You're listening to the AME Radio Show.
Wake up, everybody. It's Friday morning. You're listening to the AME Radio Show, the show that's the voice of artists and entertainers everywhere. I'm your host, Jason Dowd, and we got a great show for you guys today. In fact, we have two great shows coming up this weekend because we're going to be focusing on two Lifetime movies, and we also have something else that's very special to us that we're going to be doing on this show regarding pets. So we have got a lot to cover in just a little bit of time. I'm not going to be able to talk too much, but that's okay. Before we get into anything, though, go check out our websites, www.theamemagazine.com. There you'll find the links to all of our networks, the radio, television, and magazine. You'll also be able to see anything we have coming up. You'll be able to get all the links to our social media networks, so follow us and like us there. Sign up for our newsletter and download our app for our Apple or Android platforms. It's completely free. It's going to be a lot of fun to go do that and stay in the know with us. So today, we are going to be focusing on a movie called Zombie at 17, which premieres on October 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Lifetime, and it will also play again on Sunday the 28th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I think that you guys are going to really love this movie because it brings something different that we haven't seen really in a long time from Lifetime, and that's the monster side that doesn't really happen. You see monsters of people that go out and hurt each other, but this one's got a little bit of a different story to it, but it's still a thriller that you're going to want to see for Halloween. And we are right smack at the end of our Halloween specials, so all of this is going to fit in. You're going to hear from our guest, and you're going to be able to see some questions that I ask them about what their favorite character was when they were growing up to be at Halloween, and what their favorite candy was, and also if they happen to see any real ghost experiences. So don't miss any of this. We have today Celeste Desjardins. She plays Tia Scott, the 17-year-old girl that actually gets turned into a zombie. And we also have Laurie Fortier, who plays Kate in the movie, which is her mother. And then we have Larissa Worrell coming on. We had Larissa on before. She's on the Home and Family show on the Hallmark Channel, and she's their pet resident. And October is the Empty the Shelters Month, and this is where we try to get all these dogs adopted all over the country. It's a beautiful thing. And we're also going to be talking about why dogs are not the best, or pets are not the best gift to give somebody for either, you know, Christmas, birthday, whatever, unless you do it right. Okay, so that's what we have coming up. I'm really excited about this. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have Laurie Fortier on the line, and we are going to get this party started. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
I'm Gladdy, the dachshund, the face of Gladdy's Goodies. Are you worried about your pet's health? My parents were too, especially since I developed pancreatitis. They couldn't find any treats I could eat, so they made some. Our natural treats are healthy for all dogs, with and without health issues. We have lots of delicious flavors like chicken, turkey, salmon, sweet potato, beef, and more. With our homemade treats, you won't worry about the contents because they have no chemicals, fillers, or bad ingredients. Go to GladdysGoodies.com now to get your fur friend a bag and pick them up some swag while you're there. You'll be glad you did. Remember, we have the treats and swag to make their tails wag. Again, that's GladdysGoodies.com. Again, that's GladdysGoodies.com.
Hi, I'm Serena Vincent, and you're listening to the A&E Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We got our first guest on the line tonight. Her name is Lori Fortier, and she is in a brand new movie on the Lifetime channel called Zombie at 17, which is really good because it fits right into our Halloween extravaganza that we got going on. So we're going to be talking to her about this, and of course we're going to learn a little bit more about her and how she got into being an actress, and we're really excited to have her on. So welcome, Lori. How are you doing today?
I'm great, thanks.
Well, I really love Lifetime movies, and I love hearing the people that are you know, acting them and enjoying them and bringing them to life to us. And I like that we get your perspective on the character in the movie too, which is really fun because it gives it a whole new dimension when you watch the movie. So I'm really excited to be able to talk to you.
Cool.
So I guess let's kind of start off with giving the people a little idea about you. How did you get into being an actress, and what made it special for you?
I always wanted to be an actress, although I wasn't aware that actually what I was doing was was actually acting when I was a kid. Loved performing in front of people any chance I got. Went to college when I graduated high school, but then always was just, you know, my heart was in acting. And fortunately for me, I was born and raised in Los Angeles, so it was very easy to convince my parents that I wanted to come back home and try, give it a shot. And I remember I had been auditioning for maybe about 4 months. Mm-hmm. And then I booked my first gig was a TV show, Saturday morning TV show on NBC. It was called Running the Halls. And I was like, you know, this is what I want to be doing. Had no idea what I was doing because I had, of course, never been on a set before, but that's kind of how this game is, right? You just jump in.
That's right.
And you learn along the way.
So what has been one of the most fulfilling pieces of being an actress for you this far?
The most fulfilling pieces of being an actress is I get to be somebody different each time. You know, you read a script and then you're curious, that curious creative mind, jumps in and you're trying to figure out, like, who is this person and, you know, where do I come from and what's motivating me? And putting the pieces together.
Having to play so many different people, does that give you a better appreciation for people in general? You know, because you get to see all different types of situations or people as you're playing them, and you put yourself into those positions where a lot of people don't get that opportunity to do that. They just see it and kind of have to, you know, base life upon that, but you actually get to play it. Does that give you a better sense of people and compassion towards different things that are going on?
I do. I do think that it does. I think that as an actor, you have to be very empathetic. And I had an acting coach one time who I adore, Diana Castle, who told me, you know, you can't pick up a script and judge it. It's not your job to judge it. If your character is a criminal or a killer, you can't judge the character. So you have to, at the end of the day, we're all human beings with the same wants and desires and the need to be loved. And so, it's about finding the empathizing with your fellow man. You have to. Mm-hmm.
So you've been in some pretty cool things along the way. I see that you're currently on a Black Plus digital series called Exposed. You've been on Hawaii Five-0, Stalker, CSI, Running the Halls, and so many other great things. Now you get to be on something on Lifetime. What's it like being with Lifetime right now? I love Lifetime. I kind of got brought into that about a couple of years ago when my wife really started watching those dramas, and they're fantastic. I mean, you know, they keep you on the edge of your seat. So what's it like to be a part of that?
Well, I got to tell you, I got to work with Pierre David, who has produced, you know, hundreds. You know, his resume is long. He is he really knows what he wants. He's a very hands-on producer, and he knows the audience. And it's a very, specific demographic of people, although I think that we're kind of opening the door and with our story, Zombie at 17, and doing something a little bit different. I think that we're really going to appeal to both lovers of classic zombie films, and then also our kind of core Lifetime character-driven audience.
Mm-hmm.
Because our story has, you know, the classic zombie elements sort of woven in with the story of this mother who is willing to do whatever it takes to save her, what appears to be, ailing daughter.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you know that she was a zombie in this thing? Because I know what she, I was reading like the synopsis and she didn't really tell anybody. Now, was that outside the family that she didn't tell, or were you, as her mother, the one that knew about it and you were trying to help her along the way?
No, so I did not know about it. She appears to be sick. Something's off with her. And, you know, as any mother, you have like an instinct about your kids. So I suspect that there's something wrong with her, but she finally confides in me what it is. And, you know, we play it very, we wanted to kind of keep it grounded in reality. So we treat it as though it's an illness and we have to find a cure for it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be interesting because it's like, you know, somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey mom, I think I'm becoming a zombie." You know, I mean, that's just not something you can just go tell your parents, you know, they'd be like, "What? I don't know. No." You know, so I mean, I could see why she'd want to hide that for so long. So I mean, when she does come and finally do this, what goes through your character's head and how do you decide that this is how we're going to try to tackle this?
Well, yeah, that's what it is. You have to there's that thing, you have to love your kids unconditionally. So in this regard, I have to just accept what she is telling me as the truth. And rather than question it, my immediate response is to go get her help, to seek out help, because there's, you know, we're under a bit of the gun in terms of time.
See, that's what I like about this. I like this twist to this movie, because in general movies with zombies, you're a zombie, you're done. You know, and there's no coming back from it. The only way to save you is to kill you again. And this, there's a possible cure. That's interesting.
Yeah, there is, and it's about finding the right doctor, finding the right cure, and then ultimately she's okay. And it's just like with any other sort of illness, she has to learn how to live with it, and she can go on and live a good life.
And you know what I kind of see like a sub story to this thing. It's not necessarily just the zombies. That just makes it fun. But there are a lot of people that have these type of situations with real life illnesses. And you know, so it's kind of bringing that story to life too for people that can relate to something like that.
For sure, absolutely. And also the aspect of, you know, Tia, my daughter, coming to terms with what is taking over her body. And at first she doesn't tell anybody, and it is this secret, and you know, it's a nice metaphor for adolescence.
Mm-hmm.
In general.
Now when you got when they brought the role of Kate to you, what were some of the mm-hmm. things that appealed to you as a for this character?
Well, you know, I saw the title Zombie at 17, and I thought to myself, okay, I've never done a zombie movie, let's give it a look. I've done vampires, I've done werewolves in Hemlock Grove. So I was immediately kind of curious and interested. But ultimately what drew me to the story was, it's this really beautiful story about this mother and daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what ultimately drew me to the script.
Was there anything in this particular movie that you had to kind of teach yourself to do because it was new? Like maybe it's compassion for somebody that was having this really weird illness, and it's like, do I believe this? Was it hard to bring that to life, or was there something else that challenged you along the way?
Yeah, the aspect of like just accepting as what my daughter is telling me, and as I am watching her transform and looking sicker and sicker, and even though when she says she thinks she's a zombie, I want to say, what? There's no such thing. But I have to just keep plugging ahead and finding her a cure to save her
mm-hmm.
before she gets any worse.
You know, that's what I like about this movie too, because you know, like you said, you're staying close to the core of people that like zombies and still Lifetime movies. And Lifetime movies are thrillers that generally bring real-life situations to the forefront that could really happen in somebody's life. And I think that's mm-hmm. what makes them so scary. But this is fun, but yet it still has that element of where, like you said, like we were saying earlier, that, you know, people are diagnosed with ailments and that, you know, they could be life threatening. And, you know, this is still a kind of a situation in that. So it still brings that life like situations to the forefront.
Yeah, I agree.
So what's it like working with Celeste? Because I know Celeste is playing your daughter. She's she plays Tia in the movie. What did she bring to this role? What was the chemistry like?
She's fantastic. I aside from being a beautiful young woman, she is super talented, focused on her career and wanting to grow as an actor, and very committed to her craft. And we had a blast. We had great chemistry. We really had some good laughs, you know, because we were in Ottawa in January, mm-hmm. in the dead of winter, shooting nights. So there was a lot of time spent in the car, you know, just like freezing in between takes,
sure.
you know, trying to make each other laugh. I adore her. She's lovely.
So was she like one of those people that were like a little bit of a prankster on set? Would she come in, would she crack jokes, make people laugh, do pranks that mostly people, you usually get one of those type of people behind the scenes, you know? Was she one of those?
She was.
Awesome.
She was always snapping photos. Like, you know, in not like the ideal, you know, picture with bunny ears and whatnot.
So basically, you're sitting there eating or something like that. She'll come up and take a picture of you, eating something and have your mouth full. Okay, I love that.
Right. This is your, like, shoving food into your mouth. Right, exactly.
So what's some of the most memorable things about this particular movie that you'll take with you even after this thing airs?
Well, you know what's interesting is we got to shoot it in Ottawa, and that was actually one of the reasons I wanted to do the movie. My father is from Ottawa.
Mm.
He was born and raised there, and he had recently passed when we shot it. And so I got to go back to his family home where he was born and raised. It was kind of a nice full circle moment for me.
Oh, that's really cool.
So I got to see his old family home from like the 1930s. In the river where he skated, you know, in the dead of winter. I got to kind of, go back to all these places that I know he, loved when he grew up.
That's really special. And you know,
it's
fun that you were able to get to go up there and you were working, doing something you love, and you got to see some of your history, which is just, that's special. You just can't get that back.
Yeah. And the other thing was we got to meet the mayor of Ottawa, and I introduced myself because my great-grandfather, my dad's father, so actually not even my great-grandfather. It was my great-grandfather. He was a Supreme Court judge in Ottawa, and I got to share that with the mayor. So that was neat.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So we got just a few more minutes left before we got to go. Tell everybody a little bit about this movie. When's it going to be coming out? What do you hope that people take away from the movie when they're done watching it?
So it premieres this Saturday night on Lifetime. And I hope that they are entertained, of course. I hope that we can thrill them along with, I hope that they will respond to the story of this girl and her mother. And, I think it's a great film. Mm. I think it's going to be really entertaining and also some heartfelt moments.
Oh, I absolutely love that. I cannot wait to see that coming out. Are you going to be live tweeting or anything during this?
Yeah, of course.
Nice. Then give out your Twitter handles or any other way that they can follow you, like on a website that might have links too.
Yeah, my Twitter handle is Lori, LAURIE, and then the number 4, T as in Tom, A as in Apple. And that's also my Instagram handle, @Lori4TA.
And Lori, this is our Halloween special. I cannot let you go without asking this. What was your favorite Halloween moment growing up, and what was your favorite candy that you loved getting when you went trick-or-treating?
Oh, my God. My favorite Halloween moment was third grade when I made my own costume. I was a Queen of Hearts,
nice.
And I had, like, to cut out the board for the card, and I walked around with like two cards over my shoulders, and then I won the Halloween costume. That's cool.
That is cool.
This is cool. Yeah, and my favorite candy is definitely Reese's Pieces, still to this day.
Love them too. Those are some of my
for
favorites.
Sure.
And did you like it when you got the packs of them, or when they got, or when you get the big boxes? Because sometimes they gave out those big boxes, and those were like the best because you got so much of it.
Oh. Wait, no. The Reese's peanut butter cups.
Oh, the peanut butter cups, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, peanut butter cups. So, like, package of three, good to go.
Awesome. Well, Lori, thank you so much for coming on. This has been so much fun. I got to learn a little bit about you. We got to learn a little bit about your character, and I hope that this brings a new perspective to this movie when they sit down and watch it. So I'm really excited, and thank you for coming on and having some fun with me.
Great. Nice to talk with you, Jason, and hope you enjoy the film.
I will. And guys, if you cannot see the film, please DVR it. You're going to want to watch this. This is fun. It's the great time of the year. And we got more coming back after this. So don't go anywhere, because we have Celeste coming on, who is playing Tia in the movie. And we'll be back after this.
Do you love horror? The strange and unusual. Fantasy creatures are urban legends. Do you want to step inside a dream or nightmare? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you should check out internationally exhibiting artist Jason Dowd and his award-winning photographic collections by visiting www.imaginationartstudios.com. Get inside his mind and experience his inner weird.
Hey guys, it's Michael Campion. I play Jackson Fuller on Fuller House, and you're listening to AME Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, and like I had promised earlier, we have our next guest on. Her name is Celeste Desjardins, and she is in the movie Zombie at 17. She plays Tia Scott, who is a 17-year-old that actually becomes a zombie, and she has been seen on a lot of different things. One of her most notable roles is in Taken, and we are excited to have her on the show and learn about her and, of course, her perspective and vision of this role. So welcome to the show. Celeste, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. You know, great. I really love to be able to talk to people that are passionate about what they do and love doing what and make a living off of their passions. And you're doing that. And I'm excited to be able to bring you on and tell your story. And hopefully your story will inspire others of every age to follow their dreams as well. So I guess let's kind of start off with how did you become an actress? What made this particular profession something you wanted to pursue?
Well, I mean, I think I've always had it in me since childhood. My parents have always said that I've, like, put on shows for them as a kid. I loved entertaining people. I would make short films all by myself, and it was just kind of in me already. But it kind of fell into my lap. There's this social media star. His name's Nick Bateman. He's pretty big on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all that, and he reached out to me on Facebook, when Facebook was big back in the day, when I was like 17, he found out my age and contacted my parents and asked me to come down to Toronto to set me up with some modeling agencies. And at the time, I was too short, so I got denied because it's a very competitive industry and they want what they want, I guess. And so he was like, you have the personality, let's try acting. So we went to Amanda Rosenthal Talent in Toronto, and I had a quick interview with them, and then they signed me on the spot. And pretty much then, the rest is history. I got signed with Gersh LA shortly after, and I signed with my manager, Francis Oku, at around the same time. So everything just kind of sort of fell into my lap, and there was really no, it sucks to say, but there was no
no struggle for me to get into the industry, mm-hmm. but I mean, it has been, there has been my ups and downs, as you can imagine, but it's been awesome from now on.
Well, so you just gave a great, you know, perspective on that, because a lot of people think it's very easy, and a lot of people say it's not, but the people that are going at it and they're afraid that it may be hard, sometimes it just works out in your fashion, and it did for you. So that's definitely a special, some special information for people out there to know. It's not always tough, you know. But
no, it's not always tough. But there is there are ways. Like, I think a lot of people get discouraged with the whole agent thing, and you know, I think just go for it. Like, set up those interviews, call around, ask questions. I mean, everything's at your hand. You just need to go for it. You know,
you have to be proactive.
Yeah, exactly.
So as an actress, there's so many aspects to this field. I mean, there's so many things that you can enjoy being on set with, and whether it be telling a story, being a character, being somebody else for a little while, you know, traveling to different places and seeing some amazing things, even telling a story. What is it for you? What makes it special for you?
I think just working with creative, talented minds. It's cool that I get to meet so many new people. I mean, we are on set for months at a time. I mean, days at a time. Like, it depends. But you're always meeting someone new, or you're working with people that you've seen, like familiar faces, because it's such a small industry. But I do think that, like, when it comes to what I love most about this, it's really just meeting new people and getting to travel and getting to be creative. And but you could play a different character, and it's always different. There's never a dull moment. There's never a time where I feel, wow, like, this is getting old. It's just a very creative process, and it's really fun. I have a lot of fun doing it.
Now, I know growing up, I've seen stuff on television, and, you know, I always wanted to be this, or I always wanted to be that.
Yeah.
And if I was being an actor, I would hope to play one of those roles someday. Have you gotten to play one of the roles that you would really love to play, or is that still in the works and you're hoping that someday it will happen? And what is that role?
I mean, sort of. I've always played pretty similar characters up until Zombie at 17.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, like, always the girl next door, sweet, nice girl, the love interest, whatever. But with Zombie at 17, I got to play, like, a very complex role, and I never got to do that, so it was a huge learning experience for me. And but also, I would love to play, I mean, we kind of touched on that with Zombie at 17, but any mentally disturbed female, I think, would be very fun for me. It's just challenging, you know.
I just
like to be challenged. I don't like to feel like I'm doing the same thing every day, so anything that's like gritty and dark.
And the fun part is, you have to tap in your inner wackadoo, and when it comes
out,
it's sometimes you can surprise yourself on how well you acted it.
That's like, how I felt. That's how I felt with Zombie at 17. I was like, wow, I'm pushing myself to the limits that I wasn't even aware of. Like, I got out of my comfort zone for sure.
So let's talk about this movie. I want to know your perspective of this, of the storyline. Without giving anything away, what is this movie about?
So, I mean, the story follows my character, Tia, through a lot of ups and downs after she gets scratched by a strange cat. She starts noticing major changes, like lack of focus, drop in body temperature, weird cravings for brains. And she does have to research and comes to terms with the fact that she's slowly transitioning into a zombie. So this movie is essentially about her trying to find a cure with the help of Flynn, who is played by Seamus Patterson, and her mom, played by Laurie Fortier. So it's just a very fun, like, keeps you on your toes. It was a fun project to work on for sure.
Well,
and I can't wait for you guys to see it.
I know that just from, you know, what you said there and what I've read, I have so many questions. So let's get your backstory behind this. First of all, how did you get scratched by a strange cat? What were you doing?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I was walking in a parkade and a parking garage, and I found a cat underneath a car, and I go up to it, silly me, and I try feeding it, and it scratches me, and I get all weird, and I walk away, and then that's when it all changes. It all sets the tone for the movie.
Mm. And, you know, cat scratch fever has some of those type of symptoms. So, you know, that could make it kind of realistic in itself. But
yeah,
the second part is your character's doing the research. How did she come up with the idea that she might be a zombie or turning into a zombie?
I mean, there's the craving for brains that kind of gives it away. she just does her research, and it just all points to these speculations of zombies, and that's pretty much it.
Those dang online places where you can self-diagnose.
It's never good, and I'm definitely one of those people who think, oh, I have cancer, oh, I'm sick, I have this, I have that.
Yes.
So it makes a lot of sense for Tia to feel that.
Now, I read in here that your character doesn't really tell anybody, and I can understand why. You know, I mean, that's not something you could just go up and say, hey, you know, I think I got the flu. It's like, hey, I'm turning into a zombie. Nobody would believe you.
Yeah.
So, you know, how did you prepare as your character to tell your mother, and what were some of the things that you kind of expected a response with? And you probably had your typical response, like, you're crazy, you know, but yet
you gotta
try to believe that your parents would listen to you. So what was going through your head to make that make your character say that?
Well, I think, like, even being at school, when you watch the movie, you'll see that it's not the look of me is not very, like, zombie-like. It just looks like I have an illness of some sort, and my mom, I guess, is worried about me, and she obviously has questions, and she assumes that I'm getting sick or I'm doing whatever, drugs, whatever. And I think, like, where she starts to believe me is not the fact that I'm telling her. It's literally my eyes start to change. I start to developing weird things that wouldn't normally happen. So I think it's just, like, the proof, technically. Like, the way I look that really convinces her that, oh, something's wrong. Let's figure this out. She believes me because she loves me.
That's true. And, you know, and that just shows you what parents are able to do, you know, and what they got to listen to and how they believe it. Because sometimes, I mean, anything really whack like that, sometimes it would not be as accepted by a parent. And it's nice that in this particular thing that your TV mom, you know, accepted that. Mm-hmm. But it kind of shows that, In the bigger light, you know, this is, okay, maybe you're not going to be a zombie, you know, with something that's going to happen to you, but this puts in a real scenario that these things happen, and sometimes it is for, you know, pretty traumatic stuff, and this is where, you know, it kind of sets a precedence for other people to kind of be aware of, that this could really happen where you might have to, you know, comfort your child with something crazy.
Yeah. There's definitely some real aspects in it. It feels like something like this could actually happen, being that zombies are not real, but yeah, definitely, I agree with that.
Well, it hasn't been proven that zombies aren't real yet. I still think that they're out there, but I still believe that Bigfoot's out there too. So, you know, that's
well, I'm with you on that one. I'm a believer.
I believe in everything paranormal. And see, that's what I really like about this movie, is that this kind of takes away, it kind of gives that realistic type of feel, because I mean, this could really happen to somebody where they're dying of cancer, something major happens where they got to go to their parents. But also, it brings the crazy, you know, well far-fetched aspects to it that's not typical of Lifetime, and I love that. And I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. So, I agree, for sure. I feel like I'm, like, the first person that got to play a complex, scary role on Lifetime.
Yeah.
You don't see much of that. And it's cool because it comes out on Halloween weekend, which is the perfect timing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really cool. I'm excited for you guys to see it.
Now, when you got the role of Tia, what were some of the things that you were drawn to her as a characteristic or something like that?
I mean, like I said, anything mentally disturbed females or anything complex. I haven't played a role like that before, and this is actually my first lead role, so there's also that drew me to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was super nervous to take on this role, not only being my first lead role, but there's a lot of elements to it that, like, I was pretty nervous to take on. On set, there was a lot of things that I had to do that you guys will see, that was definitely got me out of my comfort zone, for sure. So I liked that. I got to learn a lot from this experience.
Did you learn anything from your character that you can apply in your real life? Obviously, not necessarily about being a zombie or anything like that, but was there anything characteristic-wise or something that she had to do in the movie that you can take and use in your own life?
You know, just protecting your loved ones and standing up for what you believe in and staying close to my mom, staying close to my family members, you really having the elements of teamwork and using that to your advantage because people are there for you. Mm-hmm. You're not alone, you know?
Sure. And, you know, one of the questions I should have asked earlier, and it kind of fits with this particular theme of this movie, is that you're still very young, and you got into acting
yep.
pretty young. So how important is it to have your family behind you? Because I know there's a lot of them that don't. And that doesn't necessarily deter somebody, but what was it like for you? Did you have your family support? And what does that do for somebody in your position that wants to pursue a dream?
Well, I do believe that family is everything and that I wouldn't be where I am today without my parents. When I first started, I would come from Sudbury, Ontario. So mm-hmm. it's 4 hours north from Toronto. So there was a lot of auditions happening when I was 17, 18, and I was still in high school. So my dad had to take off work to drive me to Toronto every single day. And it kind of took away from my school, so they had to move me down to Toronto so I could obviously continue school because that was very important to me to graduate and have good marks and make sure that I was there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if I didn't have him, I wouldn't be able to make the auditions. I wouldn't be able to afford taking classes or even living in Toronto at the time. It definitely helps financially, and the support, you're getting rejected on a grand scale. It's almost every day. You're getting 100 no's and only one yes, and it's not for a long time, you know? So you definitely need a loving support behind you to get through it because it does affect your self-esteem, and you just need people to keep you grounded and to remind you that they're there for you and they love you and you're great and just to keep going. Because it's hard to do this industry alone.
And now you know why people out there, I asked her this question. Because it does fit with her character and everything else. So that's important.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, we're almost to the end of time here, but I have a couple of questions I still want to ask. Obviously, this is Lifetime, so one of the things that they do the most is that they live tweet during these particular premieres.
Yeah.
Are you going to be doing any live tweeting? And if you are, what is your handle?
I don't tweet. I'm not very good at that, but I will be on Instagram and promoting it on my Instagram and doing some live stuff. But the movie airs this Saturday on Lifetime at 8 p.m. Central, and again this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. So hopefully you guys get to tune in and let me know what you guys think, and it would be awesome to know your feedback.
Absolutely. And
just DM me on Instagram.
And, you know, the next thing that I want to ask is this is actually the last show of my of October, which pretty much concludes my month of spooky. So I cannot let mm-hmm. you go without talking about something spooky here other than zombies.
Okay.
What has been one of your favorite characters that you were that you dressed up as for Halloween? And what has been that candy that you just really wished was always dropped in your bag?
It's funny that you asked that. I just had a Halloween party this weekend, and me and my boyfriend were Minions, which was fun.
Nice.
But I think my favorite costume that I've ever done probably was Mia from Pulp Fiction, because I'm a huge fan of the movie, and it was a lot of fun to play her. But yeah, my favorite candy? Ooh, I have such a sweet tooth. I can't even pick one. I think Kit Kat. I love me some Kit Kats.
Did you ever get those taffies that are in those really, like, the orange and black stuff that you try it once and it's like, ugh. You know, and it's
oh gosh, no, I do not like that. That's not my thing at all.
I never liked those myself either, but I did love the ones where you get the big bars of something, you know, like the full candy bar.
Oh, yeah, those are the best. Those are the best houses to go to.
You know, I knew somebody that was truly evil, and what they did is they had this fence, and it was like a big gate. You could not get into the house. And just out of the reach, they had a bucket there that had absolutely full candy bars and money. And the object was to try to reach through there and grab whatever you could, you know. And
that's fun.
It is fun, but I know this guy was sitting there in the window watching all these kids going, look at this, you know, and laughing at us. And I mean, if we had smartphones back then, I know it would have gone viral. Because it was just...
Yeah, no kidding.
But it was just, that was true evil, you know?
True evil. Who does that?
I don't know. And the last thing have you had any real life experiences with a ghost? Like a haunted house, a house that was haunted, or anything like that?
Oh, God. I personally haven't, but my mom has some scary stories. But I can't share her story.
No, that's for sure.
How about yourself?
Well, Celeste, this has been so much fun. I cannot wait to see this movie. It's going to be definitely something different on Lifetime. I love it. I love horror movies. I love ghosts and ghouls and all that kind of stuff. So this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait to see you in this. And hopefully I'll be able to get on Instagram and throw some more questions along the way as I watch it.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. This has been a lot of fun. We'll have to get you back on for future projects that you have coming up.
Yes, for sure.
All right. And guys, we are going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have our last guest. So don't go anywhere. We got more.
Jason Dowd of Imagination Art Studios is proud to announce the release of his steampunk collection, which is currently on tour across the country. There you will see beautiful handmade masks from Venice, Italy that accentuate beautiful women to create amazing stories and feelings to those who visit the collection. Each photo series has a theme, mask, authentic props, and beautifully elaborate outfits, all collaborated in the mind of Jason Dowd to create the right emotion and feeling. The masks come from a shop in Epcot at the Italian Pavilion, where all these photos are on display for you to see. This is one of the biggest accomplishments of his career, having his work at Disney. Come see the beautiful first release of the series, which includes Distressed Dancer, Spanish Serenade, The Pied Piper, and Reaching for the Czars. You can see them in person or online at www.imaginationartstudios.com. For more information, visit the website. Again, it's imaginationartstudios.com. Our Facebook is Imagination Art Studios. Twitter is @DowStudios, and Instagram is @JasonDow. Come and be mesmerized by the masks and the stories behind them.
Hi, this is Crystal Hunt from Guiding Light, One Life to Live, maybe a little Magic Mike XXL, and currently Hilton Head Island on PureFlix.com, and you're listening to A&E Radio.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We have on the line with us a very special guest. She's a return guest, and we're going to be talking about something that I really am passionate about, and that's animals. Everybody knows to talk about them a lot, and we're going to talk about them some more. So we have Larissa Warrow coming on. She is the resident pet expert on the Hallmark Channel's Home and Family. And this happens to be, in the month of October, the Empty the Shelters Month. And I want to see that more than anything. So welcome to the show, Larissa. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, you're welcome. What'd you say?
I said thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. You're welcome. I'm glad to bring you on here, and we're going to talk about a lot of furry friends and stuff like that because it's a very special month. So I guess let's start off by talking about what this month is. It's Empty the Shelters Month. When did this come about, and how long has it been going on, and what can we kind of do to help empty the shelters?
Well, there's a few different things going on this month. It's Empty the Shelter, it's Adopt a Shelter Dog Month. It's also Adopt a Dog Month, and we, on our end, have kind of called it our Empty the Shelter Month. So it's a little bit of a whole conglomerate going on. Basically, we just want to clear those shelters as much as possible and get the animals into loving homes. And, you know, I do stress that as much as we want to empty the shelters, we want to make sure that they're going to good homes. Not just anybody and everybody is ready for an animal at the moment. And that's okay. You can still do your part and help. You don't have to adopt right now, but there's so many different avenues that you can go through to help one way or another.
You know, that is absolutely true. Not everybody's ready for them. And sometimes in this type of situation, they know somebody that, you know, hey, my girlfriend or my boyfriend or my husband or whatever like that, they want a dog, so let's go ahead and get one. And sometimes they do it without the other person knowing as a gift, and sometimes that can be a little bit It's you have good intentions, but it's not always the best thing to do, right?
Exactly. A lot of people have good intentions, whether it's to pull a dog out of a shelter and find it a new home, or to gift someone an animal for the holidays or just for their birthday, or, you know, maybe for their kid in order to kind of learn some responsibility. But to be honest, it needs to be a decision that's really thought out. No matter how much the adoption fee is, whether it's $0 or $600, animals cost money, they take time, they take, you know, resources, and you need to be ready and willing to do that. And I just stress, as much as we want everybody to get out there and get animals, you know, if it's not the right time for you, there's still so much you can do. And giving an animal as a gift is really not the smartest decision, unless everybody has thoroughly thought it out and has, you know, plan B's and C's if they need to find extra help or get some training or hire a dog walker, etc.
And, you know, the financial burden that comes with an animal is absolutely worth the part of having an animal, because I know I got three myself, but every year you have to have all the shots and stuff like that, and we forget about stuff like that. You know, and we forget about the occasional, you know what, my dog got sick or my dog ran after something and screwed up his leg. So, you know, that's something you also have to take in consideration.
It's a very important topic, because, you know, a lot of these times when adoption fees are pretty low or they're sponsored, you know, people often forget over the life of an animal what that still entails. And, you know, I just have one of my my foster failures. I had her spayed. And it didn't, the next day she was still bleeding a little bit from the incision.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took her back and they took a look and they rebandaged her and gave her. And that visit alone cost almost $200. So you forget how quickly this stuff adds up.
Yeah.
And it's usually unexpected. There are the expected costs every year for updating microchip and rabies and all the different vaccinations. But there's also those things that happened that you really didn't look forward to.
Right. It's like heartworm medicine. It's $20 for like the smallest weight dog, up to so much depending on what you get. And, you know, that's $20 you have to make sure you have.
Oh, yes. One of my little ones had a weird episode. She got in a fight with one of my fosters, and thank God everybody was fine. But my vet wanted me to get her heart checked out just in case. So we went to a cardiologist. And I spent about 15 minutes with the lady. She was a lovely lady. She knew her stuff. She took my dog back, did some scans, made sure everything looked good, and it cost about $500.
Mm-hmm. Like, wow.
And, you know, you're for peace of mind, I guess. For me personally, I'll spend anything when it's your baby in trouble. But that's a lot of money. And it's certainly not something I budgeted for. It wasn't in the list of things I was looking forward to paying off that much. Put it that way.
That's true.
So, yes, there are all those things that you have to take into account. Now, that said, having animals is the best gift. And when it's your baby, you know, you do whatever you can. And they bring so much to the table into your life. So all in all, they give you more than you have to expend. But, you know, it's just important to keep the reality in your mind when going for an animal, because it's really easy to get swept away by their cuteness and not think it through as a committed, you know, decision.
See, I have lived my life by jumping into things, and sometimes I'm like, oh, Lord, I did not think that through. Now, luckily, it wasn't with animals. With animals, I was always into that, but I know where that comes from. It comes from passion, and it comes from excitement, and sometimes you have to curb that a little bit, and that's okay. You know, it is a lifelong commitment to have an animal, and I think that's something that we, like you said, needs to be, you know, curbed back a little bit, but yet still pursue it if you're interested in it. But the other thing that, you know, if you do have a shelter animal, or you're going to think about adopting another animal or buying another animal, however you want to do it, you know, if you have another dog or cat or something at home, that's something else you have to take in consideration. Because, like, when I had my dogs, I had a really, since last time we talked, I had a horrific tragedy happen in my house.
Oh, no.
And I ended up giving my dog some treats. And I had one dog with pancreatitis. I had another dog that was fine. And then like 1 week right after the Super Bowl, my Bichon started getting really lethargic. Then she started throwing up and having like diarrhea all over the place. And so I took her to the vet on a Saturday, only to find out that her liver had almost stopped. And so we took her to the emergency room. That cost me about $5,000. Then I got home from picking, and they kept her overnight. I got home, my other dog, Gladys, the one that has the pancreatitis, started throwing up and having diarrhea all over the place too. So I ran her to the vet and to the ER, and I had two dogs in two separate rooms. Gladys had, it went from just a controllable pancreatitis to full-blown pancreatitis. Said I couldn't give her any treats, couldn't give her any of this, and it was a real mess. And what ended up happening was Allie passed away because of the liver damage. Gladys is forever screwed up, and it's because I gave her bad treats. And what I didn't realize is I didn't look at the back of the label, and on the back of the label it says ethylene glycol is one of the ingredients, which happens to be antifreeze. And it killed one of my dogs and almost killed my other one. So, you know, I was, right in March, I was looking for other dogs, and I still had Gladys. And when we went to the shelter, that was one of my biggest concerns, was that I didn't get a dog that was going to attack or not like Gladys because she was still with me. So, you know, I brought Gladys to every place I went looking for dogs so they could at least see each other.
Yep. Oh, well, I'm so sorry about your dog. That's horrific.
Mm-hmm.
That is so horrible. I'm so sorry to hear that. But yes, you're right. When you have another dog, be it a cat or a dog, and you're going to introduce another furry family member, you have to make sure that they get along. And sometimes that's hard because some shelters won't let you bring your current dog to the shelter. And that's for liability reasons and because there are germs and, you know, parasites and bacteria and all that they don't want your animal to get.
Right.
So I do understand it from that point. But you do want to seek out the different rescues and shelters in your area that will allow you to bring your animal, because that's a very important point. You want to create a harmonious family, not you know, chaos. So, you know, it is very important. And also, you know, these shelter animals, if that's where you're going, you know, they've often had their fair share of trauma. So to bring them home and it not work out and have to bring that animal back is just even more traumatic for them. It can be traumatic for you or your kids if you have kids. So, you know, starting off on the right foot is so important. So important. Set yourself up for success. And if that means, you know, at least meeting in a neutral place, you know, if you have a dog at home and let's say your roommate or your, you know, significant other can bring that dog to a park nearby on a leash and you bring the new dog. This is if they can't meet, you know, previously at the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Do it at least on neutral territory so the two of them can kind of get to know each other without there being any possessiveness or territorial, you know, aggression.
True. Now, you know, like you did say, though, that, you know, you got to take a little bit of precautions and preliminary stuff with animals. One of those steps, I think, would be also looking out at the shelter that you're trying to adopt from, because sometimes shelters can be, you know, not so trustworthy either. Just because they are a nonprofit or whatever does not necessarily mean that they're good. So what are some things that we could look at when we're looking into a shelter to make sure that the dog that you're getting is what they say it's you're getting?
Well, it can be challenging because a lot of shelters, not saying that they're not good, but what I would say more or less is that the intake volume is so high because of unfortunate, you know, people who aren't responsible and let their animals out and go astray or are overbreeding. And so the intake volume becomes so horrific that they can't spend much time with each animal. So they don't ever possibly get to know that animal. So they may tell you what they think the animal is like, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's true. And that's only because they just purely don't have the time, space, or, you know, means. So in that regard, I would say going through a rescue that is foster-based is very helpful, because animals that are in foster homes, you're going to get a lot more detailed description of what they're like in a home environment. what they're like with you, what they're like with your husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, etc., what they're like with any kids that are in the house, other animals. You know, fosters are usually in a home for 2 to 4 weeks. So you're going to learn so much more about any specific animal than if you go into a shelter and there's been a dog there for 3 days. There just isn't the time to get to know them as well.
That is true. So what are some of the other tips that we can look into if you're thinking about having a dog? What should be the top concerns we have, or some of the things that we need to look at to make sure that maybe getting another dog is worth our time or not worth our time?
Sure. Well, I would say your living conditions are very important. Do you live in an apartment versus a home? Do you have a yard or not? Are there neighbors, you know, very close to you? Because if so, you wouldn't want to get a dog that howls every time you leave the place. So you want to really take into consideration your space and living arrangements. That also includes your hours. Are you gone 8 to 10 hours a day? Are you in and out every 3 or 4 hours? Do you have grandkids that come over all the time? You know, because all those different variables make for a different type of animal that's going to be best suited for you. And then the other thing, once you, you know, figure out your living conditions and your hours and who's in and out of the house, is your energy level. That, to me, is one of the most important things. Matching energy levels from the dog parent to the dog is so important. If you love getting up early and going on a run along the beach or a hike, great. Get a dog that can do that with you. It's going to make for a really happy partnership. If you love sitting at home after an 8-hour day and doing nothing more than watching Netflix, then get a dog that could do that with you, because a lot of times people fall in love with these big, let's say, huskies because they're adorable and fluffy and cute, but they want a dog that they can just sit around on the couch with. If you get home after a 10-hour day and sit down, that husky is going to start bugging you.
Yes.
Because that husky wants to go, 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 and run and play and jump. And you need to give that to them, because that's what you're signing up for. So please know the energy of what you would like and the different energy levels of the various breeds that you're interested in.
And also, you know, I know when people go out there and they get these little puppies and stuff like that, they don't realize they're going to get big. So I would think that, you know, knowing the type of dog that you're getting as a puppy and seeing how they're going to change over time, I think that would probably be something that people need to also to consider a little bit closer, I would think.
Yes, I'm all for getting adult dogs. And actually, to be honest, personally, I love senior dogs, because you absolutely know what you're going to get. I understand the draw of a puppy. There's nobody that loves a puppy more than I do. But if I'm going out to get a dog that's going to be part of my family at this moment in my life, I know what I can offer. Mm-hmm. And I cannot be a good doggy mom to a puppy right now. So I love dogs that are 3, 4, 5 years old. You can see what size they're going to be. You can see if they shed a lot. You can see if they're really vocal, or if they, you know, sit in the corner and just like to, you know, sleep and they don't bark. You can learn so much about them in such a shorter amount of time and take out that guesswork. Because a lot of times when you get a puppy, even though you might have an idea of how big they're going to get or what kind of, you know, amount of shedding they'll probably do, there's still so many things that you don't know.
That's true.
Which is an adventure in itself if you're up for it. But if you're not, or if you're even not in the slightest, don't do it.
I agree 100%. And Larissa, we are unfortunately running out of time, so please tell everybody a little bit more where they can find you, and I know you're on the Hallmark Channel. So where can they see you? Where can they follow you? Any websites you got, anything like that?
Yes, thank you. I am on Hallmark Channel. I'm on the morning show every day. It's called Home and Family, Monday through Friday. And my website is SavedByTheL, as in the letter L, .com, and I post every animal that comes on our show that's up for adoption and all the human interest stories. So you can go there, or you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook and everything at Larissa Wahl, W-O-H-L. And I would love to hear from everybody.
Well, I hope they do, and I hope they learned a little bit about, you know, adopting animals, and I hope that they will take the incentive if they are willing to bring a furry friend into their home this year, that they will help get rid of the, empty out the shelters, and I think that would be a great thing. And I really wish we didn't even need them, but unfortunately we do.
I know, same here, but thank you for spreading the word. I really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll make some happy adoption ever after.
I would love that.
Have a good night.
You too. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. I promise we'll be back with more, so don't go anywhere.
All right, guys, we're closing out the show. I don't really have enough time to go to a commercial break, but that's okay because we had a great time. I had so much fun with our guest, and I hope they'll come back on and join us again, and I hope you will too tomorrow at amfm247.com at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also hear us on wklap.com every tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, radiolove.com at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, iHeart, iTunes, Spotify, and phoenixbroadcasting.com, and the 11 stations across the United States. Good night, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
That's the end?
We're done. Calm down, people. Calm down. Okay? That's it.